We're thankful for our praise band and our choir and orchestra and our pianist, all those who make music our worship possible. And it's been difficult to try to keep everybody well so you can have a quorum in the choir. So I'm thankful that they're all running and taking their vitamin D and C and whatever else they're doing to stay healthy. Today I want to talk about what some of you will do while I'm preaching. It's called selective listening. And so if you'll take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4, we're going to talk about selective hearing. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. And he says here, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Verse 9. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy. And when they hear it, but they have no root, they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come together for worship today. Thank you that we're in a free country. There have been people who have shed their blood, given their lives, so that we can exercise this freedom. Thank you for those who've taken advantage of that today. We pray that you would just speak to our hearts, and may the words of my mouth and meditation in my heart be pleasing unto you as I share your word with these precious people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Several years ago, I noticed that Delane's car was running loud. I like my automobiles to be in perfect shape. I want them to be dependable 24/7. I walked around the car and listened a little while, and I know nothing about mechanics, but I thought, this must be a muffler going bad. They're not very expensive, so I'll just let it run a little while longer. A month later, I noticed the car was louder, so I actually figured out how to raise the hood. It sounded more like a Dodge than a GM product. I took it to the dealership and left it. The service representative called me later in the day and said, "I've got bad news and I've got good news." I said, "Give me the bad news." They said, "Your catalytic converter has gone out. It'll be $2,500 installed." I said, "Okay, that's enough bad news. How about give me the good news?" They said, "When you bought this automobile, you bought an extended warranty from the manufacturer of this automobile. Your warranty gives out in 2 months. You're here just in time. We're going to pay for your loaner car, the deductible, the whole $2,500. You don't owe anything." Praise God. Listening. Some of you have your playlist. Some of you listening to talk radio. Some of you actually listen to your friends when they talk to you. Today, this message and this text is all about listening to God. That's so very, very important. A pastor said he was conducting premarital counseling with a young couple. They'd been through several sessions. Finally, in the last session, the pastor looked at the couple and he directed his remarks to the young lady, the bride-to-be, and he said, "If I were you, I would not marry this gentleman right here." They were both in shock. And the girl said, "Why shouldn't I marry him?" He said, the pastor said, "Because every question that I ask him over these three sessions about the value of marriage and that precious relationship ordained by God, he always gave me the wrong answer to every question." This young man is only concerned about lust and also the flesh. Don't marry this man. He said, "In fact, I'm so convinced of this by the Holy Spirit, I am not going to conduct your wedding." Well, the young lady went out and got another pastor to officiate at their wedding. The pastor that did counseling said 4 months later, he said, "I'll never forget this young lady stood in my office door in tears. She was going through a divorce after 4 months. And she said, 'If I had only listened to your counsel.'" Every one of us, beginning with me, has been guilty of selective hearing when it comes to the Word of God. God speaks to us about a decision we're about to make through Scripture, and we twist it around and we make a bad choice. Jesus has given us an exact interpretation of this parable. The sower is God. The seed is the Word of God. The soil represents you and me and our hearts and how receptive or how we reject God's Word. When you look at this story, I don't think it represents just four kinds of people. In fact, every time I've ever studied this before, I've thought there were just four kinds of soils, and you're one kind or another kind or the third kind or the fourth kind. There may be some people that are like that, but this represents all of us at different times in our lives. Sometimes our hearts are not fertile ground for the Word of God. Sometimes our hearts are very hard and we don't listen to what God has to say. Sometimes we get the idea it'd just be nice to listen to God, it'd be commendable to listen to God, but this story tells us that it's a life or death matter. Spiritual life, because God wants us to plant, He wants to plant seeds in our heart. We're accountable for what we hear. I think we preachers need to be more aware about our study time, our prayer preparation, because the Bible says we're going to be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ on a high level because we've been called to distribute the Word of God. But also, as we share this as preachers, we've got to realize that our people need to understand the Word of God, because you're going to give account for all the sermons, all the Bible studies, all the devotions, all the reading of the Word of God that you've ever had in your life. God may have one message for you today that you hear from this, and God, through the Holy Spirit, will speak this message in a different way to other people. So let's look at the four soils. First of all, we need to seek to have an open mind. Look at verse 5. He talks about the seed that fell on the pathway. I remember one of my grandparents, he had a pasture, and they would plant rye and they would plant some other things out there, ryegrass for the horses and the cows. But they also had a place where they always drove the pickup truck. That ground was hard. Nothing would ever sprout. Didn't matter how many seeds fell out on that little rut road that he had around there, nothing ever grew in that place. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the hardened place where the seed would fall. What happens with the seed that falls on the hardened ground is the birds come along and use that for food. Let me share with you what the devil does with a hard heart. he comes along and takes the Word of God away to make sure that person is never saved. He comes along with a Christian who has a hardened heart, and he makes sure that you don't get the wisdom and the decision-making resources so that you might make the right choices so that you might glorify God. There are three reasons that people have a hardened heart. You want to write these down. The first one is simply fear. Fear. We're afraid if we open ourselves up to God and His Word, what He's going to ask us to do. I was reading the other day about a lady in Maryland, and she has 8 children. She said that nothing real eventful ever goes on around her house. I don't know what kind of medication she took, but she undoubtedly didn't notice. She said she went to the grocery store one day, and when she came in, she had real bags. I'm talking paper bags of groceries. Those plastic things are fake. They're in the way. And so she said, my hands were full. I got the door open. I walked in, and she said, 5 of my 8 children were in the living room. They were in a circle, and everything was suspiciously quiet. She said, I looked in the living room, and all the children, those 5 of the 8, were sitting down in the floor, and they were all leaning in towards the center of the huddle. She said, I put my groceries down and went in there and sought to see what they were doing. She said, when I walked in, there were 5 of the cutest skunks you've ever seen in your life in the middle of the circle. And she said, I screamed, run, children, run. And so they all grabbed a skunk and ran in 5 different directions in the house. She said, skunks don't like to be squeezed. You know what we're afraid of? That if we get into God's Word, He's going to ask us to do something we just really don't want to do. That scares the life out of us. He's going to tell something to us, something that we need to change, but because of fear, we have a mind that is closed to God. Second thing you want to write down here is pride. Pride goes before a fall. A haughty spirit goes before destruction. People sometimes in their pride say, now God, no matter what you say, I don't want to listen because I got something in front of me. I've got this. I can take care of this. I can do it my own way. A man named Ken Burns did an 8-hour documentary on Muhammad Ali that was released September of 2021, of last year. You'll recall, some of you who are old enough, if not, talk to your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents, but you'll remember there was a big match that was in 1971 at Madison Square Gardens as Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali met for what was billed as the fight of the century. Between the two of them, they both had about 50 knockouts and no losses. Ali's wife showed up, and she was dressed in black. She said, I knew he was going to lose. And here's what she said to her husband, Ali, before the fight. Let me tell you something. You have not been training the way you're supposed to train. And you know what? It's time for you to lose. So I'm just going to sit back and watch. This fight went for 15 rounds. And some of you remember that Frazier knocked Ali to the canvas in the 15th round. Ali got back up and sort of staggered through the 15th round. But when the judges totaled up the points, they gave Frazier the unanimous win. After the fight was over, Mrs. Ali said this. After Mr. Ali said, oh, my wife has a brain like a crystal ball. And here's what he said. She said to him, there's going to be a fight that's more important than this one. And if you act like that then you'll lose at the big one. I think that had something to do with domestic. See, pride leaves us ill-prepared for life's fight and guarantees ultimate defeat if we fail to address its presence in my life. I can do it, Lord. I've got it. That's one reason we don't listen to God's because of pride. Third thing you want to write down is bitterness. A root of bitterness takes hold in our lives. We're hurt, And many times we just close our minds. Somebody's hurt us in a business deal. Somebody's hurt us as a friend. Somebody's hurt us at church. You went to the hospital and you had a heart attack. You had open heart surgery. None of your family called the church staff to let us know you were in the hospital. So when you get out of the hospital, you decided you're hurt. The church doesn't care because nobody on the staff ever contacted my family. I promise you, we're not omniscient, we're not omnipresent, and we're what? You got the other one? We're just not that. And we don't apologize here for what we don't know. But some people like to get their feelings hurt by somebody in the church. You feel neglected. Lord, whatever you want to do, I trust you to do it. Lord, I've been hurt, but God, I know that you didn't hurt me and you didn't let me down. Bitterness causes us to close our heart, and then all of a sudden, we don't use our spiritual gifts. We're not plugged in fellowship. We're not involved in ministry. We tend to think, however, that individual personal circumstances are clearly exceptions. Sometimes you've got a husband and wife, and we used to see this down at medical college all the time in Augusta. As soon as a young doctor would get out of medical school, he'd divorce his wife and marry somebody else. And then you get these folks decide they're going to have affairs, and they've been married 20, 25 years, but they decided they're going to trade their spouse in on a much younger model. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll create bitterness. One time, Benji, and I believe it was Warren and Chris and I, went to eat at a restaurant downtown. And it wasn't a restaurant I particularly care for anyway, but when a waitress came to our table, she looked at us and she looked at Benji and said, "You look like the only one I would trust at this table." And I knew she didn't have the spiritual gift of discernment when she said that. And then she looked at Chris and she said, "You look a lot like my ex-husband." She was serious. She was not nice to Chris that whole time. That night, about midnight, Chris woke up with the stomach virus of what we'd rather call food poisoning. That was a bitter lady. She was still mad with her husband and thought Chris looked like her ex-husband, so we think she tried to poison him. And you see, some people carry that kind of bitterness. Some of you are bitter today because an employee was put up for promotion ahead of you. And sometimes that's a friend of the boss. Sometimes that's a family member that's brought in to take your place. Bitterness can be justified so easily. Lord, I deserve my bitterness. I earn my bitterness, and I'm not going to listen to anything you have to say. The second thing I want to tell you about selective listening is set aside time to listen. What is this shallow soil here? He says shallow soil is that superficial mind. The person whose mind is superficial as far as receiving the things of God is concerned. And these are folks who are impulsive and they are enthusiastic. In other words, those are the people that look like they just, amen, thank you for the Word of God. And then the next thing you know, they're not studying the Word of God. They're not in the Word of God at all. They're enthusiastic, but they just don't have any depth to them. We used to live near a Martin Marietta rock quarry. You could dig in certain places in your yard and the topsoil might be about that deep, and then there was not any subsoil much, and all of a sudden you'd hit rock. You could plant flowers in that soil, but the first day it got hot, those plants would just wither and die. And the reason was they didn't have enough soil underneath to hold that moisture to keep those plants healthy. If somebody's heart is like that, doesn't matter how much you disciple them, encourage them, pray for them, or visit them, it won't do any good at all. Well, what happened to them? They had soil that was shallow. They had a heart that was shallow. The other thing you want to write down is we need to separate from distractions. In Luke chapter 8, verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Now, thorns are weeds. And here is soil that receives the seed. The seed germinates. It gives life. It springs up. But there are many thorns and there are many weeds. Now, what is weed? What is a weed in a mind? It is a preoccupied mind. People are preoccupied by basically three things that we're told about in verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked out, here it is, by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Worries, riches, and pleasures. You know, and I know, that there are times in our lives, and you can think of others, I'm sure, that you've known, who've heard the word of God, the seed sprung up, there was life, but pretty soon, because of worries and trials of life, the word just died in our hearts because we didn't receive it. The word didn't actually die, we just weren't receptive. Sometimes it's finances. It is business. I didn't get that raise. I've been laid off. I've lost my job. The stock market is crashing. You can hear that every day. It just all you have to do is listen. Don't have to turn on anything. No social media, no television or radio. You can just hear that crashing. And all of a sudden, that chokes out the word of God coming into your life. There's nothing wrong with recreation. We all need to get away at some time. But oftentimes, recreation becomes our God. When that happens, then you're not receptive of the word of God because that recreation time is like, it's like weeds. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people who have bought a mountain cabin or beach house, and I think it's great to be able to have one of those. Nothing wrong with it, especially if you offer it to us. We don't mind that at all. And then there are other people that go out, they just got to go buy the camper. They got to buy the boat. And they used to be faithful and active in Bible study and worship and in ministry. And all of a sudden, after they get these recreational vehicles and play toys, then you don't ever see them in church again. You know what happened? The weeds of recreation choked out a receptive heart for the Word of God. He's saying we allow these things to distract from what God is trying to tell us. Now, weed is anything in our life that's competing for the attention of the Word of God. He mentions the worries of life. If we don't learn how to deal with worries of life, that'll certainly distract us. And then if they drive us to God, worries can drive us to God and be sensitive to God, that's positive. But then what do you do when all of a sudden your life, he says, the worries, and he talks about the finances, and he talks about recreation here. What happens when that starts crowding out our minds? I decided several years ago, we moved to our house, I'd take care of the pre-emergent, I'd take care of the lime and the fertilizer. And we would have a lawn that would look like a golf course. That was one of the biggest disasters I ever took on in my whole life. I mean, I looked it up, I went to the home and garden store, and I read, you know, if you put down Scotts here and there, these certain times, it's just going to look like the Augusta National. Finally, I had to hire a professional to come over and squirt that thing about 9 times a year. And I still don't have the best looking lawn in the whole wide world. But one thing I've noticed is I don't have to plant weeds. I don't have to fertilize weeds. They always just come up on their own and take care of themselves. That's what he's talking about here. He said the weeds of this world will crowd out what God wants to say in our life. It'll choke out the life of God because the Christian life has to be nurtured. You have to give attention to your spiritual life. Now notice here he says that we need to have a submissive mind. He says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And he says that's the fruit God wants to bear. If we'll live by the Word of God and surrender to the Holy Spirit, he said, this is the fruit that's going to be produced in your life. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, "This is the Father's will, that each of us bear much fruit." God wants our life to bear fruit, and that can only happen through the power of the Word of God as we receive the Word of God and cooperate with it. Many pastors today won't preach from the book of James anymore. James is straight up. He said, "This is the will of God for you." Over in James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." He says, "Do what it says." This is key. It's important. That's the key to the word of God bearing fruit in our life. We need to be willing to do what God says before he tells us what he wants us to do. Did you hear what I said? Are you selective listening right now? When we come to God's word, whether it's preaching or teaching, or having your devotion time, or just reading through the Bible, God wants our attitude to be this: "Lord, I'll do what you tell me to do, even though you have not revealed it to me yet." That's what Jesus said in the 7th chapter of John. Listen, "If any man is willing to do his will, he will know of the doctrine." You see, God doesn't say, "I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. I'm going to give you some instructions, and then I'm going to give you the triple option." I'm not going to give you the triple option of saying yes, no, or maybe. He's saying, "I want you to make up your mind before I tell you." And the person that has the attitude of, "God, I'll do what you want me to do," before you tell me to do it, you do that in advance, you'll receive power, strength, and you'll give glory to God. God is going to speak to you, and you're not going to be without a word from God. You're not going to be without direction from God. But God is going to produce fruit through your life that will glorify him. And the other thing is, you'll have a testimony about what God is doing in your life right now to share with other people. I was reading the other day, a pastor said that a young man who'd not been in the ministry but 2 or 3 years came to him for an appointment, needed some counseling. He said, "Now this young pastor had the education, he had sharp skills, but he was just young. Married, great family, and the young man all of a sudden had been offered a huge ministry. So he asked this seasoned pastor, 'What do you think I ought to do?' The seasoned pastor said, 'I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me.' And he said, 'I told the young man, don't take it.' And the guy said, 'What do you mean, don't take it? This is a great opportunity. I have the education, I have the ability, I can handle this.' And the pastor said, 'Listen, I'm telling you, you're not ready. You think you are, but you're not ready.' And the young man didn't listen to the godly counsel. Within 2 years, the young minister had lost his marriage and his family. He lost his reputation. He lost his ministry. Financially, he lost everything he had. 2 years later, he came back to the pastor from which he had sought counsel. He said, 'Pastor, I wish I had listened.'" Sometimes we seek counsel with people. God, through his word and the Holy Spirit, has given us the exact words that we need to heed. And what God is doing is giving us warning. And then all of a sudden we decide, rather than take counsel, we'll do selective listening. We need to build our lives on a solid foundation. And it's real simple.
It's listening and obeying the word and the will of the Lord. Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, thank you for meeting with us today. Another very simple message. And we are selective listeners, even when we're listening to other people. But help us, Lord, to have a heart that's made of the good soil, the richest soil, that we're aware of the weeds there and some hard places that we have from time to time. And help us to have a humble spirit as we go before you, as we seek your will and your plan for our lives. And Lord, every person in the sound of my voice, whether you're here in the Family Life Center, you're listening on your electronic device, God has a plan. It's not rocket science. It just means that we have to have a receptive heart. And we listen. When you speak to us through your word, through someone else, through the Holy Spirit using his word, through circumstances, that's the only way we're going to be able to glorify you with our lives. You're here today and you've never been saved. God's speaking to you because he sent his son who lived a perfect life, willingly died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, gave his life to pay the price for your salvation and mine, rose again on the third day so that you and I might have a place in heaven with him as well. And he says, whosoever will, let him come. All you need to do is confess you're a sinner, turn away from your sin, invite Christ of Calvary into your heart so that you might be saved. If you don't know how to do that, Dan's coming forward over in the Family Life Center. Ted's joining me here at the front. Richard's over in the Family Life Center. They'll help you with that decision, but no pressure. Some of you have already been saved, need to make it public, need to be a candidate for baptism and church membership. Some of you have been our guests for quite some time. You've prayed about it. God's given you peace. We invite you to come by transfer your letter. We'll take care of the details. We're just asking you to listen to God and do what he's calling you to do. And Lord, we're going to give you thanks in advance for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you need to make a decision today for Christ, church membership, rededication, the altar's open here and in the Family Life Center. The praise band and Richard, Dan are coming forward in the other service. Ted will be up here with me. If you're uncomfortable doing that, because of COVID or whatever reason, over in the Family Life Center, go to the Connect desk after the service. And Dan or Richard or both of them will meet with you. If you have that same concern here, Ted and I will be at the Welcome Center desk last Sunday. About 20 minutes after the service, Ted came running to me. He said, we had a couple that joined at the Welcome desk last Sunday. We'll be glad to meet with you there. So we're going to begin now singing our hymn of invitation. Clay's going to lead us, and you come now or come later as God speaks to your heart.